All right, everybody, welcome back in. It is the Rob and Stu Show back from a little vacation hiatus, horrific hiatus. Nightmare.
Yeah.
A little bit of all three, Roberto. Roberto. Me and Roberto have been taking more L's than Ryan Massett on a UFC card. It has been rough.
Yeah, it's been a tough go for this group at the Rob Stu. So listen, we're back on track. We're going to be back next week. Especially, I'm going to get somebody on for the draft. We're going to do a big spectacular. You know, it's one of my favorite days of the year. Stu does. Stu wouldn't know anything about that. You know, he's not a college football aficionado. You know,
the draft is one of the more overrated things.
Oh, you're crazy! It's one of the best days of the year.
I enjoy it. Certainly enjoy it. I'm not saying I don't enjoy it. It is insane. Because we get mental patients like yourself with notebooks out here pretending to actually know what they're scouting.
Which is kind of crazy. Yeah, but it's like Christmas morning to me. I always can't wait for it.
I asked you like a week ago. I'm like, hey, man. Why are you so sure? You're like scouting these guys. What are you scouting for? Do you even know what you're looking for? And you're like, no, but you know grit when you see it. And I'm like, okay.
You just know a football player when you see. Listen, you know, guys have spent years in scouting and coaching to become, you know, GMs, you know, professional scouts in front office. Nobody knows the game of football like I do. Okay, when I see a first step, when I see a bend over the edge, okay, I'll be judging 40 times. I'm basically running an NFL franchise.
I did see some talk on Twitter that draft day is actually based on something that happened in your life.
It really could be. I don't know why. The McNabb draft is one of the first ones that stand out to me. I don't know if it was the booing that day or like, the draft has just always fantasized me. I don't know why. It really has, though. It's something that I'm just obsessed with. You know, it really, I'd say from about November till April, it never really leaves me, to be honest with you. But it's something that's always on the forefront of my mind. I just love the excitement of getting new players in. You get your hopes up, and then they usually turn out to be shit in my case, but it's just something I just really enjoy it. I enjoy the process of it. I love it. I mean, I listen to about four different shows that do the draft, but listen, I can go on and on. But we do want to get into a little bit of baseball. The baseball has kicked off. We're about 3 weeks in now, right? We're going on our fourth week next week.
Yeah, complete dates.
Things are starting to roll. Stu's Tigers are off to a decent start for them. I don't think they've been that bad.
One game above 500.
Yeah, one game above 500. I mean, listen, that's you go all around baseball. That's pretty much what you have right now. You have one or two teams way ahead, but everybody else is floating around.
I'll say this, the AL Central might not be the worst thing ever.
Now the Royals are off to a good start.
Yeah, and Cleveland looks really good. Minnesota might that watching them play. Woof.
White Sox. Did you see that attendance the other day down there? Oh,
horrific.
My God, 98 people showed up. The AL West is off to a completely slow start. I mean, Texas. You figured after winning the World Series, they'd come out and stumble a little bit, but. They're only two games under 500. Everybody else is under 500.
No. Texas is 11-9.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're two games over 500.
Oh, Houston, I thought you said under.
No. I said like the Angels only a game under, and Houston's 7 under.
Yeah, it's just not clicking for Houston to start, but
8 under. I'm sorry, Houston's 8 under. What am I saying? The White Sox, like we just said, 3-15. The AL East is off to a good start. The Yankees were red hot. They pulled off a little bit, but they had a big comeback win versus the Blue Jays. Volpe's look great. Soto looks like anything you want in a big-time player. I mean, the guy's just gotten big hit after big hit, big hit. They haven't even gotten Judge going and the big double to come back in that Blue Jays game. Your Orioles are off to a really good start. If they just had slightly better pitching, I think they'd be the best team in baseball.
It's absolutely wild to me. And we got to get our Orioles guy back on.
Yeah.
Cuz he's a good chat, but it's wild to me how they have like the number one farm system by miles and they won't go get a pitcher.
Yeah,
wow.
I mean, you would think this year at the deadline, anybody that's selling off any kind of pitching, they should be all in. Yeah, just the pitching's really going to hurt them. But boy, that lineup, Cedric Mullins, I mean, got unbelievable walk off the other day. I had the Twins, of course, in that game. He killed me. But
Gunnar Henderson,
oh,
is
phenomenal.
Just a monster right now. I saw something and I looked up his odds just because I was like kind of curious.
Yeah.
Plus 1300 for AL MVP. I'm
Not
just
a
going to
bad
throw
bet.
This out there. I don't love that they bat him at the top of the lineup, but the dude mashes. The dude
Yeah.
has some serious power. And he's starting to hit lefties too, which used to be his problem. And he's been pretty good so far against lefties, but that's a guy that could be like 40 homers, 290, you know, top of the lineup. He's not going to have those RBIs, but at plus 1300 might be worth like a little bit of a flyer.
Yeah, they have. I mean, that lineup's outstanding. It really is. Like, pound for pound, probably the best lineup in baseball.
Yeah, I'd put
depth
it up in
wise,
the top three.
It's really good. Even Boston's off to not a horrible start at 500. I thought, I mean, they'll probably be 20 games under, but they're not in last place.
Honestly,
But they're 10-10.
When you look at around baseball, like I think like 20 or so teams are like literally one or bare minimum 2 games away from 500. Like
yeah.
Everybody's like right at that 500 mark, except for a few teams.
Even the Dodgers, they're off to a slow start for them. I mean, this is a team that's projected to win 105 games. You know, at 12-9, they really haven't hit the ground running yet. They lost two in a row to Washington. The lineup's been inconsistent, but I guess that's going to happen with a super team. You know, the first month, you're kind of getting things together. I think the Padres have played decent, honestly. I thought they were going to be worse. I mean, they're only a game over, but I think they've looked better. Arizona, you figure, coming off the World Series, a slow start. San Francisco has been very disappointing. Spent some money in the offseason. They haven't looked great.
Well, they're like in
Colorado,
a rebuild that's not a rebuild.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, they're like lying to themselves.
I'm a Detroit sports fan. I'm very used to rebuilds that aren't rebuilds.
Same thing here. Shout out to Ed Wade, the worst GM ever in baseball history for the Phillies. Thank you. Only to be topped by Ruben Amaro. The
I could
Milwaukee...
I, David Smith.
Go ahead.
No, David Smith, the Tigers GM in the mid to early 2000s. Before Dombrowski, who Dombrowski replaced.
Yeah.
Possibly the worst baseball GM ever. And had his job for well over a decade. Damian Easley, your thoughts?
Milwaukee's off to a good start with that absolute criminal I won't talk about, Rhys Hoskins. But no, he's off to a good start. Milwaukee's playing decent. Cubs playing some decent baseball. Cubs have a nice lineup, actually.
Cubs are a
pitching
nice team,
isn't
man.
Great.
They,
yeah, they,
they
are.
They are honestly
nice.
A nice team.
Pittsburgh's coming back to earth. Pittsburgh, same thing last year. They got off to that red-hot start. Now they're starting to come back down. I mean, they have just some awful pitchers in the bullpen. Chapman looks absolutely horrific. Blew a game to the Phillies last week. Blew a game to the Mets. He's a mess. And Pittsburgh has a pitcher the other night. He pitched a great game versus the Phillies. They did the same thing. They took him out early. They did the same thing. He shut out the Mets for 5 innings, and they took him out, and they lost the game. I don't know what they just don't try. Cincinnati's not a bad little club. Cincinnati's like a miniature Baltimore. I don't think, obviously, with not the hitters, But they kind of remind me of that, like a good young ball club on the rise. They just obviously don't have the pitching yet, and they lack a little bit of the hitting, but they're a nice little team. They're pesky, the Reds. St. Louis, not impressed with it at all. Watching when the Phillies played them, I just don't think they're a good baseball team. I really don't. They're a game under. Don't like their start. And the NL East, listen, you know, Strider goes down. The Braves now, Albies goes down. But listen, they're the Braves. I mean, anybody they call up is a 300 hitter. It's so annoying. But, you know, they're regular season champs. That's all they are. We know in the playoffs they'll fold. The Phillies, they're off to their typical start. The lineup isn't doing anything. Nick Castellanos hasn't had an extra base hit in 68 at-bats dating back to last year in the playoffs.
You would have thought when O.J. died, that was the day.
Yeah, if O.J. dying didn't get him going, nothing will. I'd hate to see what has to happen to get Nick Castellanos going, but he is in a horrific slump. Harper here and there, but he hasn't been great. Trey Turner's actually hitting the baseball, which is shocking, hitting over 300. But listen, it's the Phillies. They're going to hang around. They're going to be a wild card team. We all know the drill. The Mets have bounced back. The Mets look like they were dead. But they bounced back in a couple of series. They've gotten some really good pitching going right now. Lindor hasn't done a damn thing, but they're getting timely hits. They have decent pitching. They'll probably be a wild card team. They'll probably hang right in there. I mean, I was having this conversation today, and it really is amazing, but like half the teams in baseball don't even try. Am I right or wrong? Like, they don't even care about winning half of the teams.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's notorious. Like, yeah. You could look at the Pirates owner. I think, oh, God, who was it? There was a piece right before the season, Oakland's owner, for sure, easily,
yeah.
Where they said, like, yeah, we just throw a team out there. We're going to make money. I mean, with the revenue sharing and normal stuff, I mean, that's why you see, like, 5 to 10 teams in the majors with under an $80 million payroll.
It's really wild, man.
Hell, who was it a few years ago? Like KC literally was put, like, trotting out there like a $35 million payroll.
Yeah. I mean, half of the teams don't try. It's really, and you mentioned this earlier with the record, it's really like you have to be at a Marlins level or like a Rockies level. Or a, you know, the Oakland, even Oakland is halfway decent to start the season. But, like, you almost have to be that bad not to hang in the wild card race. Like, they really try to make it impossible now with all these teams getting in for you to at least say, well, we're 3 games out of a wild card. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, listen, it's a 162-game season. It's long, but, you know, the first 3 weeks, everybody's getting back, so we wanted to touch on baseball a little bit. We love baseball. I mean, listen, what other sport can you lose money on a random Wednesday afternoon and just cursing out some reliever?
I will put out a plug, though.
Go ahead.
Our boy CVD is killing the first 20 games of the season. I'll tell you that much.
Red hot.
Honestly, he is.
You love to see it.
No, I mean, the kid loves baseball.
You got to get him on.
Yeah, not a huge college football guy, but certainly a big baseball guy.
Yeah.
We know that from the record.
We know that.
Yeah. We do know that. Draft, the only thing I have to offer to you on the draft is, did you see Drake May went from plus 120 to minus 105 tonight to go second overall?
I just seen that, yeah. I'm looking at it now, actually. Good call.
I don't understand. Like,
okay, you know, so last year, here's the thing. Last year, and believe it or not, people can laugh. I'm going to say this. A random Reddit post moved the line to Will Levis going at 2. Huge. I think it went down to minus 205 that he was going to go number 2.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, it was a whole big thing. And some of the books got pummeled with that and CJ Stroud going at 2. So these
Do they
books
even have player props anymore? like this year.
I do here, yes. Yeah, I do here.
I had heard so there's like huge max bets allowed, correct?
Yes, they're very minimum bets because the book's not going to get hurt. God forbid they give a little back. You know what I'm saying? So I'll get into some props here. Obviously now I might even do two shows next week on the extravaganza. That's how much I can't wait. Live reaction, the whole nine. So the number one pick, Caleb Williams, he's -2,000 in the sports books for the first pick in the draft. I mean, boring. It's you know, he's going number one. They've only had dinner, I think, with him, whatever. But Stu does make an interesting point. With Daniels at -115 now and Drake May down to -115 with the number two pick. I mean, let me put you on the hot seat with this, Stu. You're the GM of the Washington football team, whatever the hell they are these days. Okay, it's your first year. You're there. Josh Harris, the new owner. Josh Harris says, listen, we want a quarterback. Obviously, you have to take a quarterback. The next 5 years, who's going to be the better quarterback, Jalen Daniels or Drake May?
I like Daniels more.
Okay.
But I would say there's a higher probability. He has the much higher ceiling. But I feel like I don't think he makes it. I don't think he makes it unscathed. Like the dude is like buck 70 soaking wet.
Yeah. I know Drake May. Well, you know, like in May's defense, May has the look of an authentic NFL quarterback. You know, and Jalen Daniels is a guy that keeps on getting better and keeps on getting better. But is this his, like you say, is this his limit? Like, are we just scratching the surface with Drake May? Is there a lot more there, or is pretty much what you're going to get? Bad footwork,
you know, the occasional quite great frankly, throw. I just think he's a project.
He is, yeah, no doubt about it.
A lot of talent,
but he's got big.
I think
time
you could
flashes.
Say the same thing about McCarthy. Like, it's a project. Mm-hmm. You don't actually know how good he is.
No, yeah.
I think Daniels has at least been tested.
Mm-hmm.
And has performed really, really well, but it's just that huge, big question mark of, is he going to stand up to it? Like, you take away his running ability, because I don't think whoever drafts him, like, you know, we saw what happened with Anthony Richardson, like, almost immediately. Lamar's just built different. He's just a bigger dude, but he needs to run to elevate his game a little bit. And,
yeah,
you know, I don't know that you're going to be rushing for 260 on the ground like you would against Georgia State or whatever. Wait, who do you have that in Florida? It was Florida, wasn't it?
I think it was Florida, yeah.
Yeah, that was a hell of a game. That was like my best bet of the week or whatever that week, that over,
yeah.
And they had the over by like halftime. And the over was
the
like 67
quarter.
Or something.
Yeah. I think it might have been the first quarter.
Yeah.
So the interesting
no
part with some of these props
game.
Is the interesting part with these props is, okay, more than likely three quarterbacks, first three picks, right? The favorites right now, it's to go Caleb Williams, Daniels, May, right? So the draft really gets kicked off at four. Now, everybody thinks it's going to be Marvin Harrison Jr. He's down to -190 for the number four pick. J.J. McCarthy is at +175 for the fourth pick. Drake May at 750. Malik Nabers at +1,400. Let me tell you. Jim Harbaugh, complete psycho, right? So
of his signing bonus from the Chargers to send money back to Moscow to build hypersonic missiles. That's what I read. not me saying that. I did read that on a Reddit post.
I got to imagine Arizona doesn't trade out. I think Marvin Harrison is that good. I think they keep the pick and they take Harrison. That's the safe play with the number four pick. If you want to put a little scratch on McCarthy in a team trading up And, you know, they're just naming the picks at this point. So somebody slides up to four to get him. Throw some change down to plus 175. That's a pretty good bet that he lasts in the fourth pick.
You're
The
doing
number
some
five
mental.
pick, which
You're doing some
the number.
mental gymnastics here, buddy.
Well, the number
Jesus.
five pick is what the Chargers have with Harbaugh. I can't envision people. You might say I'm crazy. If Harrison does fall, I can't envision Harbaugh drafting him solely on the purpose that he went to Ohio State.
Well, I would imagine that you're going to see him get an offensive lineman. If you're giving me the best tackle in the draft at five, I'd take that
Well,
right
which
there.
is Joe Ault. Joe Ault is at plus 475. Malik Nabers at plus 220.
I mean, so the Chargers do need, and this might be a decent bet here, the Chargers do need a wideout.
Yes.
After letting Mike Williams go and everything, but just, you've seen Jim Harbaugh. He's not a wide receiver guy.
No.
Joe Ault, it makes a ton of sense there. He's an O-line, protect the QB kind of guy. That's just what he is. I'd be shocked if they keep the pick. I'd be shocked if they go to a skill position.
Yeah, it's wild, man. This such an interesting draft, man. These first couple picks to see how this thing falls. So many good prop bets out there. And we're really going to dive in next week. I mean, we're just touching at the surface here.
I think Brock Bowers isn't going in the top 15.
You know, there's been so much buzz to him with the Jets. Here's an interesting prop. The Jets had this 10th pick, right, in the draft. Okay. At number 10 in the prop bets, who do you think's the first person to go to the Jets, the lowest odds?
I would take an offensive lineman immediately.
I know you would. What do you think the lowest prop bet is?
Something. Is it the Jets doing something stupid?
Brock Bowers, plus 150.
I think that's a joke.
Romeo
He
Dunze.
Can't block. He's not a blocker. I don't care what JC says. The guy doesn't block. He's Kyle Pitts.
I would take the tackle from Penn State, to be honest with you.
I mean, you think Aaron Rodgers would too?
Pretty much.
I mean, we already seen that show.
I'm going to tell you what, you could pound with the Falcons all day. They're taking Dallas Turner.
Oh, yeah.
Dallas Turner is an Atlanta Falcon. I've already hammered that one at plus 200.
Have you talked to the Bobcat to get that approved?
Oh, I know he's going to approve it, but I was going to dig into Bobcat a little bit on Kool-Aid and Travion Arnold. I'll save that for the show next week because I need full breakdowns. I like Kool-Aid a lot.
Well, you better
I
get Bobcat while he's still out there prowling around.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Because he's about to
that's
be busy
true.
Too. But by the way, he wants us to go visit and go see a Cardinals game. You know, he got like a suite, like the champion's suite at Busch Stadium.
Nice.
Yes, he got season tickets.
Of course he did.
And it was brand new F-250 loaded truck money for season tickets, right?
Yeah.
And he was like, "Oh yeah, man. I made like $12K this weekend." I'm like, "Oh, what the hell did you do, Bobcat?" And he's like, "Oh, well, Braves were in town, season opening series. I couldn't make it, so I just sold my tickets for the games." Yeah. Apparently, really tough to get into the Champions Club or whatever it is.
No, that's Bobcat.
Yeah, so we gotta go out there to go to the club.
Yeah, I would definitely like to go to a Cardinals game, just not with Bobcat.
Well, you can go sit with the poors. I'm going to go sit with Bobcat.
Yeah, I'll sit with the real Americans and have a Budweiser.
Yeah, the Clydesdales will be running, that's for sure.
What do you think the caviar looks like in St. Louis?
Extra runny, I'll put it that way.
Disgusting.
I don't care about the NBA.
It is interesting. You know, this today on WFAN, I had a tweet. Everybody is going nuts. Like Tiki and Evan were saying, are they going to get beat up when they come to Philadelphia and everything? Like, to me, now the Knicks haven't been good in over 20-something years. You know what I mean? So, like, Knicks fans are fired up. I get it. I think Sixers fans are exhausted of that team, no? They lose all the time in the second round. Embiid never shows up. They showed up the last 5 minutes of that game last night. I mean, NBA just stinks. It's a terrible league. I fight in a group chat all the time with Lewis and the rest of the guys. It's a horrific sport.
It's a poverty deal. I still don't know who's plays watching this.
Horrible.
No, it's unwatchable.
I have to admit, like on a Saturday or on a Wednesday, you know, if it's a night where the Phillies aren't playing, I will tune in for a couple minutes, watch, whatever. But, I mean, who cares? It's the NBA.
Well, you have a gambling addiction, Roberto.
Along with all other things.
I mean, you're the only human being I've ever met that's like, oh, yeah, it's Tuesday night. We'll see if Yonkers is going.
I got bets. I got a pick five going tonight at Yonkers. I mean, it's just forget about it.
You do pick fives in harness racing?
Never ends.
Wait. So what?
I bet the RBC today, Tommy Fleetwood.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that bet. That, I mean, you might as well burn your money up. But
why? Well, he had a good showing at the Masters.
The hell he did.
Fleetwood played well in the Masters.
Oh, I'm thinking of the other. Never mind. Yeah, that's fine. But they're different courses, Rob.
Oh, I know that.
I don't understand you. Here's what I don't understand. Back to the harness racing deal. You'll bet pick fives in harness racing. But you will not even bet a pick three or a pick four in thoroughbred.
I'm not a smart gambler, so.
I don't think it has anything to do with being a smart gambler. I just don't understand why.
Well, there's less takeout in the harness.
Oh, is that why?
Just messing with you. I have no clue. I'm a sick, addicted gambler. I have no idea why. Why I do things.
Just don't understand your logic.
Listen,
I know there's no logic, but it's just
draft scout. Hey, what else do you want from me?
That's a fair point. And on that note, Roberto, let's bring this one into a coast mode. Next week, it's at your discretion. You let me know, and we'll fire up the engines and get a draft podcast going.
If you can stay up late enough, I'm hoping that you can, because I'm going to be heavily intoxicated Thursday night, but I'd like to do a live reaction show. So I'll be here at my sister-in-law's. So I'm going to have I'm going to have two giant fans over. So we're going to have a live reaction.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I'll get with you. We'll have a live reaction show.
We'll get a live reaction show to that pick at six, because that'll be interesting. Once they get to 22, it'll be, you know.
We'll do a live reaction show after the draft. We'll have it ready for next Friday, right? You can do your final draft thoughts. But you better get fucking locked in real quick, because we got Derby the week after next.
That's right.
Giddy up.
That's right.
By the way,
can he be beat?
I don't think so. I really don't think so. I think right now you get him plus 250.
I think, saw plus 275 somewhere. I don't know if that's going to last.
I think DK or Circa had it plus 250. Just historically, he fits the model for a horse that should win the Derby.
Model of a horse that won his race by 16 lengths. Thanks for that one. Really
no,
doing the homework
no
on that.
Dipshit.
Thank you.
It's the makes it to the front, can sustain a run. That's it. Like Sierra Leone is a really great horse, and I really like that horse.
Hold on one second. Let me get my notes app out for that groundbreaking information.
This fucking, you know what? You're
the
not
horse,
even gonna
the
get
the horse went to Louisiana Derby in the fucking bluegrass, and you're telling me about
a really nice horse, but I don't think he has any chance to win the Derby because horses don't come from the back to win. Ever.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Closers don't win the Derby.
Mind That Bird? Right?
What? Okay. What's the other one?
Monarcos?
Okay, so we got two out of 150. Keep going.
No, Monarcos, Giacomo.
I don't. So we got to go back to the tape on that. But I just don't see it.
Well, you're going to have to see how the track plays that day and everything. But you're not wrong.
Yeah,
and listen, well, the one thing with Fierceness, he gets to the lead. I mean, this horse either – the thing is with him, it's all or nothing. He's either going to stop at the half-mile pole or he's going to win by 20 lengths. There's really no in-between in these races.
I think the wise guy move is just figuring out, like, is Forever Young that good?
I can tell you right now, I'm tossing Fierceness. I mean, I might use him on one or two tickets in exact.
Oh, I'm singling him.
For the main thing, he's tossing. I'm tossing him.
I'm going to have quite a few tickets with him just as a stone cold single.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Yeah. And knowing that you want to toss him, I might add a couple more tickets. Because you are woof when it comes to horse racing. Woof.
Yeah, that's
God.
True.
So that'll be an electric show. We'll have quite a few guests on that week. We always do it up big for the Derby.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll get you squared away. But until next time, for Roberto, I am Stu, signing off. Take care, brush your hair, and we'll see you after a while.